We're in the 12th chapter of Proverbs today in the 19th verse. As we journey through this wonderful chapter of this wonderful book. Proverbs 12:19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now, that reads in the New American Standard, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Now, we live in an age of time. We were born into this age of time, and we will die in this age of time, and that's all we know until we read the scriptures, and we know that this age had a beginning, and it will have an ending, for in Revelation 10:6, God tells us that time will be no more. Now, that's hard to imagine that time will be no more. Will there be clocks? Will there be alarms? Well, time will be no more. We're told that. But the last age of time will be the 1,000-year earthly reign of Jesus, which is called, of course, the millennium. We still have that in the age of time to go through, plus the years up to that. Could be today when the Lord comes, but time will be no more. So in the unending ages of eternity, you think about the unending ages of eternity, the age of time is but for a moment. And along with time being but for a moment, we are told that a lying tongue is but for a moment, for lying tongues are only connected to time. But we are told in our proverb, the lip or truth shall be established forever. So we have that contrast between truth and error, truth and lying. One is eternal and one is in time. Now, the word lip, as used in this proverb, could also be thought of as language. So this proverb could read, the language of truth shall be established forever. There is a language of truth. And that language shall be established forever. Now, since the lying tongue is but for a moment, lying has no entrance into eternity. There is a door at eternity barring all lying. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. There is a barrier into eternity for the lying tongue. So every lip in eternity will speak truth. Now, we may think of truth as a concept or idea. But believers know that truth is a person. For our Lord Jesus Christ told us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is a person. Now, the world rejects this, saying that truth is a concept or idea, and we know that those things are subject to alteration and change, so therefore the idea or concept of truth has within it no absolute truth. If you think of truth as a concept or idea, it has no absolute truth because it is subject to alteration and change. So truth in our day is just that, with the idea that truth in another day will most likely be different. When you believe that it's a concept or an idea, you know that in another day, truth will be different. So in this understanding of truth, culture equals truth. Whatever the culture says is truth in the world. And in this concept, as culture changes, truth changes. But if you know that truth is a person instead of a concept or idea, and that person is God who does not change, then it is easy to know that truth is absolute and unchanging, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is our basis of truth. Without that basis of truth, you'll just be on a log floating in the ocean. And whatever comes along is truth. Now, Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise God for the truth. You know, the truth shall make you free, which means lies will bind. So a mark of the disciple of Jesus is that they operate in the realm of truth, and they can only do that by knowing Jesus Christ, who is truth. It's very simple. It's a very simple concept that you can only know truth by knowing Jesus Christ. So disciples, in fact, take on truth, for the disciples of Jesus Christ are indwelt with truth. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are indwelt with truth. You walk now in truth. Now, we know from Scripture that truth is a person. And we also know from Scripture that there is a person who is called lie. Lie. You have truth and you have lie. And lie also has his disciples, for John reports the words of truth, Jesus Christ, in John 8:44 by speaking to lie's adherents, the Pharisees. Lie has his adherents. Jesus Christ, oh, the mild-mannered Jesus Christ pictured in the world, the soft, cuddly Jesus Christ, points his finger at the Pharisees, perhaps, and he says, "Ye are of your father the devil." Huh, that's quite a strong statement, is it not? Have you ever done that? "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. None. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it, or father of lies. The lie is the father of lies. The lie propagates liars. So there is no mixing of truth with lie. Truth is all truth, and lie is all lie. But as our proverb says, lie is but for a moment. We ought to rejoice in that. That ought to bring comfort to our hearts. when we look around and we see lies workings. We know that lies workings are but for a moment. So lie has a limited influence, for lie operates in the realm of time. Lie is refused entry into the realm of eternity. But while we still live in the realm of time, God allows lie to have his way, as we are told in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, working his deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. His own children, for he propagates liars whom he brings to perishing. Because they received not the love of the truth. Do you love truth? Do you really love truth? Or are you satisfied with shades of error? Things that are murky? Or do you love truth? That they might be saved. And because of their devotion to the lie, God shall send them strong delusion. You know, God sends out delusion. You want to go this way? I'll help you, he says. I'll help you. I'll make it easier for you to go this way. And he sends out delusion. Why? That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God uses the lie to reveal those who will not love truth. Isn't that interesting how you can reveal those who love not truth? God uses the lie to do it. God is in the separation business. Did you know that? Every farmer is in the separation business. You know, you go out there with these modern reapers. These reapers are in the separation business. You don't want to eat the stalk when you chew on a corn cob, do you? You're in the separation business when you chew on a corn cob. Unless you eat the whole thing, you may have a habit, but we're in the separation business. God's in the separation business. Everything we do is in the separation business, is it not? So God uses the lie to reveal those who will not love truth. You have to love truth. When you're born again, you're given the ability to love truth. And that's why God brings you into his kingdom, because you love truth. Those who do not love truth will not be in his kingdom. Now, there is a battle for the minds, a battle for the hearts and souls of men, and that battle concerns the truth. Not only the message of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ himself and the message of Satan, and Satan himself, who is personified as the lie. Now, Jesus talked about the broad way and the narrow way, another separating action upon God's part. Provides two ways. Go the broad way, go the narrow way. The broad way is the way of the lie, and the narrow way is the way of the truth. Now, the message of Scripture is the message that lie binds one to slavery and is the way of death. But truth is the one who sets one free. Truth will set you free. Satan binds. He's the lie. Lies bind. You live in lie, you live in the kingdom of lie, you're bound. But if you live in the kingdom of truth, you're free. So there are only two ways, the way of the lie or the way of truth. One way is for a moment, and the other way is for eternity. Choose the way. You either become a disciple of truth or a disciple of lie. You know, it's simple. We can define things simple. The scriptures are simple. You have two ways. You can be a disciple of truth or you can be a disciple of lie. There is no middle ground. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "He that is not with me is against me." You can't be for a little bit of lie and be for Christ. If you're not with me, you're not for me. "And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And Paul reinforced this message in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" The lie says you can. The lie says we can coexist with righteousness and unrighteousness, darkness and light. We can all get along, just get along. That's what the lie says. Let's all sing kumbaya, you know, and get along. That's the lie. Now, you and I were born in the realm of the lie. And only by the work of truth can we be made free of the lie. Now, the world system instituted by Satan is a lie. Is it not? This whole world system is a lie. Satan has captivated the minds and hearts of the unregenerate, but truth has come in the person of Jesus Christ to loose them from bondage. Now, as truth is the very nature of God who cannot lie, so is the very nature of Satan the lie, for he cannot speak truth. You see, he cannot speak truth. It's impossible for him to speak truth. Now, this is brought out in the New American Standard Version of the Bible in John 8:44. "Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies." So lying is Satan's practice and nature, and the lie is his message. Now, we know that a leopard cannot change his spots, and he's a leopard. He can't change. The lie cannot identify God as the creator. So what does he do? He creates objects made by hands. You know, there's something in us to worship. God has made us to worship. And the devil knows that, so therefore he gives us an outlet to worship. By objects made by hands as the creator. But then he adapts to the modern man who rejects idol worship to what? Idea worship. We worship ideas. These are our idols today. We worship ideas. So someone comes along named Darwin, and he has an idea. And Satan is right there with his arm around him. "Good job, Darwin. Tell us your idea." And he calls it evolution. And Satan says, "Oh, this is my crowning lie, because it is the idea of existence without God. Oh, that's wonderful." But you know, this godless theory will fail. It's going to fail. Why? Because a lying tongue is for a moment. You can count on this idea to fail. It will fail. Now, if you study today, you'll see cracks. You'll hear the cracks. And the scientists are covering up their ears. They don't want to hear the cracks. But this godless theory will fail. You can count on it. Why? Because a lying tongue is but for a moment. So today, the lie is self-worship. For are we not the latest issue on the roadmap of evolution? Aren't we the greatest of all those that came before? You know, it's amazing how the past is so criticized by the modern man, thinking that the people of the past were idiots. But now we came along and we are all-knowing. Well, they didn't live in the past. They didn't live in those times. And yet they judge those times, thinking that they are further along on the roadmap of evolution. Now, Satan was true to his nature in the garden when he told Adam and Eve, "Ye shall be as gods." Boy, he planted that seed. You know, that is his mantra down through the centuries as he expresses the lie. So today, mankind chooses to be its own God, believing the lie. You know, the other day, that 64-year-old lady who swam from Cuba to America a month or so ago, her name is Diana Nyad, and she was interviewed by Oprah, and she said that she lived in awe and wonder at what she saw in nature. So, you know, when somebody expresses that, you say, wow, that person must be a believer. So Oprah jumped in and she said, how can you be an atheist? So apparently she knew she was an atheist. How can you be an atheist and be in awe and wonder? You know, it's two diametrically opposed ideas. And Oprah was expressing that, I don't think this is possible. But this woman's answer was in line with the lie. For she said, my definition of God is humanity and is the love of humanity. Now, how does that connect with being in awe and wonder of nature? I guess perhaps it's awe and wonder of evolution. But she said she saw no conflict in being an atheist and a spiritual person at the same time. Now, this falls into place with the lie who says, ye shall be as gods, which certainly teaches that all spirituality is self-generated. Self-generated. So she's moved down. She's moved into a good understanding of the lie. So there's never a need, with this kind of understanding, there is never a need to submit yourself to anyone but yourself. You're gods. I'm a god. Who are you to tell me what to do? The lie instructs you are to ignore what is called God's word and obey your word instead, and place yourself on the throne, ruler of your own life, only to be judged by yourself. Isn't that what we find in the world today? That's the lie. So the lie is a rejection of the unconditional and absolute right of God to be believed, to be loved, to be served, and honored for who He is. When you're in awe and wonder of nature, express that to God. That's your responsibility. Not to express it to the trees. Not to express it to the sunset. You express it to God. And because of a built-in need to worship, Satan provides for the embracing of creature worship. You know, God has made man in His image, and Satan can do nothing about it. but he uses it for his own purposes. He knows that man has built-in needs, and he knows that those needs must be met. Those are God-put-in needs. In the image of God, Satan knows that those needs must be met, but he always takes God's solutions and provides counterfeit solutions to meet those needs. You know, God has built in man the need for a mate. And therefore, God provides marriage between a man and a woman. That's God's solution of the need. Here's the provision of God. He says, man and woman, be one in marriage. That's God's solution. Now, Satan cannot destroy the need, but he can provide a counterfeit by man with man and woman with woman. He is a pure liar and the father of lies, and he cannot do otherwise. Now, there's an old adage that tells the warrior to know your enemy. And any general worth his stripes will direct his staff to study diligently all they know about the enemy they face. That's an obligation upon the warrior. And I think American Christians have gone through a period of relative peace in the war in the last 100 years. And perhaps we've gotten lazy about things like this and sometimes think there is no enemy. But the one thing we are to know is that Satan is the lie and the father of lies. Every lie was born of Satan, for no lie comes from God. Satan's world system is built on lies. We live in the world. We're supposed to live in the world. But we ought to remember and know our enemy, that Satan's world system is built on lies. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. You know, Satan never comes in boldly. He always sneaks in like the serpent. Subtly, it creeps in. This church has to be on guard of things creeping in to corrupt the church. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty simple, is it not? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So he's warning the Corinthians about the subtlety of the lie. You know, the best liars are the most subtle liars. Children aren't very good liars, as they say, I didn't take a cookie, as cookie crumbs drip from the mouth. Not very subtle, but give them a few years and they'll learn to wipe the crumbs off. But Satan is subtle. But God is greater, and he provides his Son, whom we are to know through God's word, which is truth. We are given truth to know the lie. The simplicity of Christ. That's the gospel message. So what does Satan do? Well, he's true to form. For if there is a Jesus, there must be a counterfeit Jesus. There must be another Jesus. He's not very creative. But if God makes a Jesus, he'll make another Jesus. Jesus is the truth, so Satan must have a Jesus who is the lie. And the Jesus Satan brings is a Jesus corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Jesus who is a lie is not sufficient in himself. That's the simplicity of Jesus. He's sufficient in himself for salvation. But this other Jesus must have additions to his work on the cross, such as the trusting in sacraments, baptisms, church membership, confirmation, confession, the Virgin Mary, or even the traditions of family. All of these are suitable for another Jesus. Satan's Jesus brings forth false gospels, worldly philosophies, and traditions designed to continue to blind the minds of the billions of people around the world. Now, we know that Satan's another Jesus is on the horizon in the form of the Antichrist, who is the full expression of the lie in human form. Satan has been waiting for this to happen, to bring forth the full expression of the lie in human form. Now, the world will be fully deceived, for the world lies in darkness, and without the light of the Word of God, deception is inevitable. If you walk in the lie, deception is inevitable. Now, the lie began this deception work with men and women in the garden by positing, "Ye shall be as gods." This lie suggests the truth is that we are the creator and not the creature. This idea permeates our culture and establishes ways of life opposite of what truth is to bring. This is the lie of the culture. We're in charge. But because we know God's Word, only because we know truth, and we know that truth is reality, and we know that lie is nothing but the living of life in a dream world of one's own making. That's basically the lie, a full recognition, a full lack of recognition that God is on the throne. For those who operate in the realm of truth, those who have been washed in the blood of Christ, those who have the righteousness of Christ, reality is a friend. You know, reality is a friend when you know truth. Things that are real is a friend when you know truth. But Satan, the lie, deludes the world with a picture not of reality. Wow, the world would turn that around, would it not? We're the ones accused of not living in reality. You see how the lie convinces the world of that. Satan's world only recognizes what the senses reveal, but God's world opens up reality by faith. You know, you can only know reality by faith. Blind eyes are made to see by faith, but the lie wishes blind eyes to remain blind. So to those who believe the lie, reality becomes an enemy. How often do you face others with reality and they treat it as it were an enemy? Rejecting the light that you offer to them of reality as they scatter. But to those who believe the lie, reality becomes an enemy instead of a friend. For reality relentlessly presses in upon them. You know, every day, as this woman looked up in awe and wonder, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork is a non-ending message of reality. It's every day. God presses reality that he is there, that he has created, that you are responsible to him. And that message of reality constantly cries in the ears of those who continue to believe the lie. You see how truth presses reality. It presses reality, but the lie refuses reality and lives in the lie. So those who believe the lie propagate the lie. They become liars and inherently enemies of the truth. But truth will keep pressing lies. And the more lies that are told, and the longer they are told, the more difficult it is to keep from being exposed. And that's why you can count on the fact that every lie will eventually be exposed. The world accepts evolution as a scientific fact, but eventually it will be exposed. Why? Because it's a lie. And lying lips are but for a moment. Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for this proverb, Father. It opens up to us an understanding of what is taking place in the world. We do not have to be ignorant, Father. You give us light. We can walk in the light, and we can know what is taking place around us. Help us, Lord, to share that light with others and take the darkness from them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.